What happens after 14 days in the Amazon jungle, 6 ayahuasca ceremonies, 3 master plant servings, no phones, electronics, or other distractions, strict diet, spiders as big as your hands, snakes, bats, hundreds of mosquito bites, living with the bare necessities? Well, you're going to listen to this episode to find out. In this very special 2-year anniversary episode, I open up about my recent 2-week plant medicine dieta in the jungles of Peru. I was deep in the jungles of Peru for a 14-day master plant medicine dieta with Papa Gilberto, a maestro who comes from a powerful lineage of maestros. This journey was by far the most challenging and confronting thing that I've ever done. And I'm excited to share some of the lessons and downloads that I received. Tune in and learn what constitutes a plant medicine dieta, why I chose to take almost a full month off to sit in dieta in Peru, what integration really is and why it's so important, and the life-changing lessons and downloads that I received while in the jungle. This episode is part one of a 2-part series recapping my experience in Peru. Now, for other news, I am still looking for 3 more aligned as fuck conscious thought leaders who are seeking to be part of a community of like minds in 2020. Thought leaders who are using their platforms for purpose and are ready to create a magnetic movement around their message. If that is you, I invite you to apply to become one of the 10 founding leaders in the Thought Leader Collective. Head over to rubyfremont.com/TLC and apply today. Enrollment closes December 13th. So if it resonates with you, send in your application ASAP. Now, if you dig this podcast, please stay in the loop by signing up for my weekly emails. Sign up today at rubyfremont.com/subscribe. And whether you are a loyal thought leader, thank you so much, or a brand new listener, welcome. Please take a moment right now, just hit pause, to download a few episodes and drop a rating and review on iTunes. Now, with all that being said, it is time to dive deep into the jungle. Welcome to today's Thought Leader, where I'm challenging you to rise up, speak up, and create a movement. I'm your host, Ruby Fremont, and I'm here as a catalyst for you, the new generation of thought leaders. I'm a kick-ass life coach, a bullshit detector, and courageous communicator. I'll show you how to gain visibility, build a cult following, and create impact while increasing your income. Join me every week as I dive into raw and real conversations that will help you amplify your presence, influence, and impact. It's time to unapologetically do what you're here to do and do it your way. So get ready, thought leaders, and let's make shit happen. Hey, thought leaders. Wow. I am back. I'm back from Peru. It's been about 3 nights back in LA, and I am in full integration mode. And man, I'm going to do a whole episode on integration because integration is super important. And I'll touch on it on this in this episode. But really what I want to do in this episode, in today's episode, is to celebrate 2 years of today's Thought Leader. So today is the 2-year anniversary of today's Thought Leader, and wow, I am just so excited to be here. I am so excited that I've stood by this podcast. You know, the majority of podcasts that go up actually don't even last beyond 6 months because people get really caught up in the numbers. So for me, yes, I hit the charts this September, which was an amazing surprise birthday present for me. I'm actually hit number 36 in entrepreneurship in the US, which is only 35 behind Gary Vee. And that was amazing. And I hovered there for about 3 weeks. And then I fell off the charts again. And I think a lot of people just get wrapped up in the numbers. And when they don't reach the charts, they give up. So even though I had that great 3-week run, I actually haven't been in the charts. I've been floating around, you know, way beyond the charts. And to me, that doesn't matter. Yes, it's amazing to hit the charts, and that's not what I'm doing this for. The reason why I got into podcasting is to find another avenue to spread my message, to serve, right? So I serve as a coach to my clients in my paid programs and offers, and I serve on social media platforms and the podcasting platform to serve those who aren't just ready yet to invest. This is a form of service for me. This is a form of, this is a platform for me to spread my message, to impact more lives and more people. And that is why I do this. So when and if I hit the charts again, is that going to be amazing? Of course it's going to be amazing. Like, keep telling your friends about this podcast. Keep downloading the episodes. Keep putting reviews on iTunes, because all of these things help me chart. And when I chart, I hit more people. This message goes to more people. So yes, support me in making that happen. And that's not exactly why I'm doing this. So with that being said, I want to address the first thing I want to address on this 2-year anniversary episode. And yes, FYI, I'm going to go into Peru. I'm going to talk about my experience with a 14-day master plant dieta in the jungles of Peru, where I was completely offline and off the grid. I have a lot to share about that. So I will be sharing about that on this episode. Okay, so stay tuned. But I want to start with this. So when I hit 1 year of the podcast, I got super excited. Wow, like I hit 1 year. This is amazing. And I had an abundance of guests. I have a, you know, I'm blessed with an amazing, amazing network of people. And I've worked really diligently to nurture that network. And so I didn't have a shortage of guests. And what I realized by the 1 year episode is that you, my audience, you actually really love my solo episodes. And in year one, I wasn't doing enough solo episodes. So I thought to myself, well, you know, year two, let me just amp this up. Let me just do 2 episodes a week. Let me do guests on Mondays and solo episodes on Thursdays. And so the idea sounded amazing. I was like, yes, more content, more stuff going out, more touch points with my audience, more, more, more. And what I discovered over this past year of podcasting twice a week is, one, yes, I have an abundance of content within me. So this within itself was a massive, massive challenge. Because if you follow me on other social media platforms, you know that this is not the only piece of content that I create. I also create videos aside from the podcast videos. I create social media content daily. I create email content. And that's all aside from the content that I create for my paid program. So I create a lot of content. And upping the podcast to twice a week challenged me to create even more content. So I was proud of myself to be able to do that. I still am. I think it's amazing to know that I have an abundance of content within me. And would I do that again? Not necessarily. So year three, going into year three of the podcast, we are going back to 1 episode a week. Okay. So thought leaders, there will be no more Thursday episodes. Episodes are going to come out fresh on Mondays. So every Monday, check back for a fresh new episode of Today's Thought Leader. And the way that I'm organizing the episodes is every other episode is going to be a solo and every other episode is going to be a guest. The reason why I've chosen to go back to 1 episode a week is because, despite the fact that I can create content twice a week for the podcast, it is a lot of time. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of effort. And I was spreading myself too thin this past year. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know through some of my past few episodes that I've been sharing that I've been removing things from my plate all year. I've been taking things off my plate, and the podcast was the one thing that I didn't, that I kept doing. And it's like we can do so much. We're capable of doing so much. But what we have to be diligent about is discerning what, out of all the things that we do, what's actually standing between us and what we truly want. So for me, yes, I absolutely fucking love what I do. I love serving. I love creating content. And I love my freedom. You know, I love my time. I love taking care of myself. I love my self-care. I love really being there for my clients. And so by podcasting twice a week, that was cutting into all of that. So I decided to remove the Thursday episodes. We're going back to once a week. And don't worry, every other episode is going to be a solo episode. And with that being said, with the guests. So podcasting is an interesting space to be in. For those of you listening who have your own podcasts, you know this. Once you have a podcast and once you have a podcast that charts, you get bombarded with emails, with DMs, with messages from people trying to get on your podcast. You get bombarded from PR people pitching their clients. And let me tell you, more than 50% of these pitches and asks to be on my podcast haven't even listened to one fucking episode. And I know this because of what they're pitching. So tip, if you're trying to pitch yourself to a podcast, listen to the fucking podcast, get to know the host, understand who the podcast is for, and make sure that you're aligned for it. But aside from that, I've been bombarded. And I'll admit I've taken on some guests on this podcast that I don't know. And, you know, I've always preferred having guests that I know that I have an established relationship with, or if they're new to my sphere, I get to know them by going on a connection call prior to hitting record. And there was a few episodes where I didn't do that. And I'm not happy with that. You know, I believe in potency over quantity. You know, they say quality over quantity. I say potency over quantity. I believe in delivering potent fucking messages for you, potent fucking content. I want to deliver shit that you don't hear in other podcasts. Because quite frankly, there's like a billion podcasts out there, not really a billion, but I'm exaggerating. But there's a lot of podcasts out there that talk about the same shit. And I really strive to bring something different to the table with today's thought leader. I want raw and real conversations, and I want guests who are able to really show up in raw and real ways and talk about things that they perhaps haven't talked about in other podcasts that they've been featured on. So going into year three, my promise to you is the potency of the guests is going to be amplified. The guests that I bring on are all going to be an absolute fuck yes. There's going to be no just mediocre yeses or warm yeses. It's an absolute fuck yes. I've created really strong boundaries around my podcast. I have my PR and communications manager now acting as like the gate of entry for my podcast. The application form is there, and I'm just, you know, I don't want to deliver lukewarm content to you. You don't deserve that. And I just don't fucking enjoy it. I get bored. So year three, the quality, the potency of the guests is being amplified. So watch out, thought leaders. Shit is about to get really fucking real and really fucking awesome. And I've already recorded a few episodes into year three, and my guests are amazing. And I promise you, you won't be hearing the shit anywhere else. Starting next week with a dear, dear soul brother of mine, Aaron Bahia, who, you just have to listen to the episode. We go way back in really weird ways, and he now lives and owns businesses in Bali, and we talk about something super near and dear to my heart and his heart, and it's about the spirituality industry, okay? Because there is an industry around this. So stay tuned for that next Monday. So that's what I wanted to share about the changes moving forward with the podcast going into year three. It feels so good to say that, going into year three. Oh my God, I've been podcasting for 3 years. This is amazing. Now, I'm going to have a sip of my tea. And for those of you watching the video, you can see my mug. For those of you listening, my mug basically has this cat on it that's giving you the finger, and the cat's saying, I do what I want, because that's my mood today. So, Peru. Whew, okay. I'm going to warn you right now that I haven't fully integrated just yet. And really, the process of integration is the process of taking everything that you've learned and connecting those dots, and then taking what you've just connected and bringing it into your reality through action. That is integration. It's, if you think of yourself like a sponge, you know, and you're just taking in all this knowledge, you're just taking in all this, these lessons and these tools and these tactics. But if you don't do anything with that, right, you're just a fucking sponge. You're not doing anything with that. Knowledge needs integration to turn into wisdom. That's really important for you to understand. Knowledge needs integration to turn into wisdom. That's actually so good. I'm fucking writing that shit down. And I can't write and talk. So hold on a second. There we go. Wrote it down. So in Peru, so much happened. I'm going to dive into that, I promise. So much happened. And I am now filled with all this knowledge, all of these lessons that were shared with me from the plants, from my highest self, from my guides, from the maestros, from my teachers that were there with me. And I gave myself this week off. I gave myself an entire week off, with the exception of recording this podcast and taking one call. But I gave myself this week off to really just be with everything, to journal, to read, to sit, to be outdoors, to go for runs, to just allow these lessons and these messages to really sink in to my system so that I can start to connect these dots. Because when we learn things, it doesn't matter if it's with plant medicine or other, okay? I'm not just talking about plant medicine now. When we learn things, whether it's attending an event or a workshop or through your coaches, your teachers, your mentors, whatever it is, when we learn things, it comes in fragments. And these lessons can often feel fragmented. Like, oh, I have this tool here, and I have this lesson here, and I have this structure here. And it's like all these different pieces of fragmented information. And what integration does is it's you giving yourself the time and space to connect the dots, to connect the lesson to the structure, to the to the knowledge, to the message, to connect all of these things. And so you start to then bring that full picture into your system, which then makes it easier for you to take action, having these lessons, these structures, these messages, and taking action on these things moving forward in your life. Okay, because again, knowledge is only knowledge. Without integration, it's never going to become wisdom. And so for me, I'm in this process of deep, deep, deep integration, and really just sifting through all the information that I received. So let me backtrack a little bit. For those of you who have been tuned into this podcast for a while, you know that this year, my 37th, or wait, nope. Yeah. Since last September, so 2018, since my birthday last September, 2018, which was my 37th year around the sun, I've been in a deep, deep journey of inner work. I've had some health issues that had come to the surface, mental health issues. And I don't want to go super deep into that. You can go back and listen to episode number 124 and episode number 126. So 124 and 126. So you can hit pause right now and then go back to episodes 124 and 126 to listen to the backstory on that. But what I will tell you right now is, yeah, a lot of mental health issues had come to the surface. And I knew that if I didn't deal with it right now, right then and there, that it would be the detriment to everything else in my life. And what was really calling to me was plant medicine. Plant medicine had been on my radar for actually a couple of years, but because of my history with addiction, I hadn't gotten to that place of being comfortable with the idea of taking ayahuasca. And in September 2018, ayahuasca was really calling me in, and I actually got to a point with my addiction where I was able to say yes to ayahuasca and not be scared. I mean, I think there's always a little bit of fear when you go into plant medicine, but it wasn't the type of fear where I felt like I was doing something wrong. Everything about it felt right. And so in December of 2018, I sat in ceremony, and that ceremony was the first of a series of seven ceremonies to take place over the next 9 months. And so I sat in ceremony in December 2018, and it was a very pivotal ceremony for me. It was actually one that brought a lot of trauma to the surface. It was a very, very tough ceremony. And in January, I was still integrating, and I heard a message that I would be in Peru in November 2019. And I received that message, and it felt right. It felt good. And I had no idea how the fuck that would happen when I am basically a solopreneur, and I have a ton of clients, and I have a podcast, and I have shit to do. Like, how would I ever take a month off and just go to Peru to be in diet? And so I just let that simmer. And I continued sitting with the plants in Los Angeles, in California. And I sat with ayahuasca seven times. I sat with combo, which is frog medicine, five times, life-changing, so many shifts. And what's interesting about plant medicine, for those of you who aren't, who don't partake in it, is this isn't like you drink ayahuasca and you wake up the next day and your entire life is fucking changed. This isn't what it is. Plant medicine is very, very confronting. And I think a lot of people don't talk about this enough. You hear stories about plant medicine. You hear stories about people having these beautiful visions and like being in the 5D and everything's amazing and life is changed. And what we don't hear is how confronting plant medicine can be. Plant medicine, for me, let me talk about my experience, but I will say plant medicine is very confronting for anyone that I know who's been involved with it. It's not just like this ultimate beautiful DMT experience where you're going to have these beautiful visions. You're going to be confronted with your shadows. You're going to be confronted with your shit. You're going to be confronted with shadows that you didn't think you had. That's really fucking hard. Like, there's the shadows that we know about, and then there's the shadows that we're not aware of. And you're going to be confronted with all of it. You're going to get what you need and not what you want. And that in itself is super confronting. You know, there's so many ceremonies where I sat and I was like, I want clarity on this. And it was business related. And then the entire ceremony, I would just get hit with all this like fucking personal shadow work, which I didn't expect and was really hard to see. So you never get what you want. You always get what you need. So the plant medicine journey isn't one to take lightly. It's one that I have great reverence for. It's one that I have great, deep, deep respect for. It's one that I deeply honor. And it's not for everyone. And I'm not just saying that. It's truly not for everyone. Plant medicine has to call you in. You know, you hear this a lot. It's like, how do you know when I'm ready to do ayahuasca? It's like, it calls you in. And you'll know. It's the only way I can explain it. It's kind of like when people ask, how do you know when I'm in love? Like, you'll just fucking know, right? You're going to hear the call from ayahuasca, from grandmother medicine. You're going to hear that call. It's going to call you in. And just like I heard that call in January that I'd be in Peru in November, not knowing how it was going to happen, it happened. I was on a hike with my dear soul brother, Anthony, in August of this year. And we were talking about, he's also a very powerful shaman. And we sit in ceremony together quite often. He's been in like 90% of my ceremonies and held space for me. And we were just on a hike integrating a past ceremony. And I shared with him, I was like, yeah, you know, like it's August and all year I've felt this message telling me that I'm going to be in Peru in November. And he looks at me with a smile on his face and he's like, well, sister, I'm going to be in Peru in November. You should come. And that's all it took. And this whole fear around and hesitation around adjusting my schedule, adjusting my podcast, my calls with my clients, the mastermind calls, all of that happened with ease. There was no friction with that. All of my clients, for those of you listening, thank you. I love you. My clients were so amazingly supportive with all of this. My business partner was Kimra, was amazingly supportive with our mastermind calls. And the podcast, as you know, I decided to take those weeks off. You know, I decided to take, I think it was the majority of November off. I released one episode in November prior to leaving, and that was it. And it felt good. It felt good to do that and give myself that break. And speaking of breaks, if you are an entrepreneur, leader, someone who feels like you can't take a break, let me tell you, you can take a fucking break. And time off is actually time inwards. And if you want more information on that, go back to episode number 154. So the episode before this. So hit pause right now and go listen to episode 154. If you want to know really what you need to do in order to take a break, like I did for basically 1 month with ease and grace, go listen to episode 154. So this brings me to Peru. Let me share more about what a plant medicine dieta is, because most people think you go to Peru and you just drink a ton of ayahuasca and that there's so much more to it. So I committed to doing a 14-day, a two-week master plant dieta, and a dieta with the plants is not just about drinking ayahuasca. So what a dieta entails is a very strict eating regimen. So for those 14 days and for days leading up to those 14 days, you're not eating any salt. I'm talking zero, zero salt. And if you don't know the importance of salt, let me tell you, when you don't have any salt in your system and it's like day 7 of your dieta, you are fucking weak. You can't, you're exhausted. Your body doesn't want to move the way it does. I mean, you don't have the electrolytes. It's tough. You also can't eat a lot of fats, basically like not a lot of fats, no nuts, no nothing. Everything is boiled, no oils. And so our food for the 14 days of the diet, was basically quinoa, rice, boiled potatoes, boiled yams, boiled plantains, boiled lentils. And then sometimes they'd have chicken and fish. Nothing had any seasoning, nothing. It was just completely plain. No fruit with the exception of apples. That was what we dieted. And this is so that nothing gets in the way of the plants as they work through your system. This is why we do an actual food diet with the plant medicine diet, is so there's no interference in your system. So the plants have a really clean slate to work with. Now, every other night of the 14 days, we sat in ceremony with Mama Ayahuasca. So that was 6 nights total during the 14 days, 6 ceremonies of ayahuasca total. And the other nights, we would sit with our master plant. So there's so many more plants and trees, beautiful trees in our world that provide medicine. And there's an array of plant master plant medicines that were being offered at this specific location, which was Papa Gilberto, a very, very powerful maestro who comes from a lineage of powerful maestros. I mean, it's said that his grandfather was actually able to shapeshift. And his dad was able to, you know, suck cancer out of people's bodies. I mean, they come from a very strong lineage of maestros, and this is his center. And we got to sit, had the privilege and the honor of sitting with him in ceremony. And he has many different plants that he offers. And you basically sit with him at the beginning of your diet and explain what's going on and share more about what you're seeking, and he will prescribe the plant. So for me, it was Bobinsana and Noyarao. Now, Bobinsana is a beautiful, beautiful little bush that grows by the river, and it has these red, puffy little flowers that look very Dr. Seuss-esque. They're like these balls that they look like pom-poms, and they look like they're straight out of a Dr. Seuss movie. And they're really pretty and really soft. And then Noyarao is, if you've ever seen the movie Fern Gully, I'm dating myself now. Fern Gully is the most amazing cartoon movie ever made. Let me just say that. And I think it was released in the early 90s. But in Fern Gully, they had all these like giant trees in the Amazon forest that glowed. They had like sap on the trees that glowed. And Noyarao is that. Noyarao is a tree. It's beautiful. And it has bioluminescence on its leaves. And so at nighttime, it glows. And so I was prescribed Bobinsana and Noyarao. Bobinsana is a very strong heart medicine. It helps you open your heart, helps you heal your heart. It helps with compassion, both for self and for others, self-love. It's also an incredibly strong body healer. And Noyarao is a very psychoactive tree that basically sheds light in a very confronting way on your shadows and shows you what's not working. So you can once and for all basically nip it in the butt. And so with every other night being ayahuasca, and because we were only there for 14 days, we were only meant to sit with our master plants three times. And we did that at the beginning on every other night of the ayahuasca. So drink ayahuasca the first night, the second night, I drank Bobinsana, third night ayahuasca, fourth night Bobinsana, fifth night ayahuasca, sixth night Noyarao, and then the master plants were done. The master plants are in my system. The master plants become activated in the ayahuasca ceremony. So the ayahuasca works with the master plants in ceremony and delivers what it needs to deliver. And so what I want to share with you today are some of the lessons that came up for me, because I really feel, I feel like some of these lessons are going to resonate with you. So let's go into some of those lessons that came up for me in ceremony. And like I said, I'll share more about this in future episodes, probably the next solo episode. But today I really want to focus on the lessons, because there's something about anniversary episodes where I feel like it's really great to just deliver a shit ton of lessons, especially because these are lessons that, and I'm only realizing this now in my week of integration, that I've actually, that have been percolating this entire year in the background. And they now fully came into the surface through this plant medicine dieta. So one is, we always get served what we need. Now, this is something that I know, this is something that I say, it's something that I preach, and it's something that I fucking lived this year, oh my God, in such intensity with the plant medicine. Even going into this 14-day dieta in Peru, I had this, all these other expectations for myself and the experience. I thought I was going to, you know, download the whole, like the idea and concept for my book and do all these things. And I got none of that. It was all very, very personal. There was nothing. There was like one message about my book, and that's it. Everything else was me. And now in my integration week, I realized how much I needed that. So when you find yourself wondering like, but why is this lesson showing up? Accept it fully. with open arms and embrace it. Because whether it's plant medicine or the fucking universe or God or whatever else you believe in, it knows what it's doing. You're getting served what you need, not what you want. A big lesson for me, and anyone who's dealt with addiction, you're going to resonate with this so hard, is let yourself be with everything that you feel. Don't resist or distract yourself from undesirable emotions or feelings. Just be with them, because that's the only way to process. So as a former addict, I masked everything. I was so used to like, oh, sadness, take a pill, depression, you know, snort a line, anger, drink more. You know, it was just always constantly masking. And then when I got sober, what I didn't realize and what I now realize after this dieta is that I started masking in different ways through work, you know, by burying myself in my work, by serving powerfully, but using service as a distraction from my own shit. And so it was really powerful for me to sit with that, because there were a few of the, you know, three of the four of the six ceremonies with ayahuasca that I did in this dieta were actually excruciatingly painful. Two especially, excruciatingly painful. The boba insana was working hard on my body, on my gut, on my system. You know, I'm talking about like bawling my eyes out, kind of excruciatingly painful shit. And the first ceremony where I experienced that pain, I was resisting it. I was trying to make myself purge, and I had nothing to purge. And I was just, you know, calling for help and getting support. And I was just like, I just want this to stop. I just want this to stop. And that's when I heard like that you have to be with it. The medicine told me you have to be with it. And so the next ceremony, when I experienced the same level of pain, I did breath work through the pain. I just lay there and I accepted the pain and I breathed through it. And I processed that pain a lot more quickly than I did that other ceremony. And so that's when I learned, like, we have to be with everything we feel, even the shitty fucking feelings. We have to be with it. Don't distract yourself. Don't resist it. And notice when you're distracting yourself, because it might not be like things that we think are toxic, like watching TV or doing drugs or drinking or whatever. It might be you distracting yourself with your work or you distracting yourself with your clients. The other lesson that came up was you are capable of much more than you think. And the only way that you'll understand this is by challenging yourself to push your limits. This entire 14-day journey was challenging. No electricity. The only electricity we'd have was between 6 and 9 p.m. It was pitch black at night. I'm talking pitch fucking black. And we have these, you know, I walked around with this little light on my forehead, like a bandana light, and like a headlamp thing to see. And you would only see like right in front of you. And you could hear like the rattlesnakes and the bats and the fucking mice and like all the other creatures in the dark, and it's pitch black. And some nights it was monsoon rain, and I have to walk from the maloka where we sat in ceremony to my tambo, which is where I slept, in like mud and monsoon pouring like waterfall rain with this little helmet headlight and pitch black sky. Like, it was intense. We sat in ceremony in the pitch black. Even if you wanted to go to the bathroom, you'd have to kind of like feel the floor and make sure you didn't knock over someone's purge bucket. I mean, it was so intense. Everything, the entire environment was challenging. You know, I slept on a single mattress that had mold in it. That was like a taco bed. And I had a mosquito sheet, not a net, a sheet on it, which acted like a sauna every night. And I would hear little creatures scurrying around the tambo at night, and I'd just be in this like little cocoon. And it was intense. You know, I had a little bucket next to my bed so I could pee in the bucket in the middle of the night. So I didn't have to walk all the way to the bathrooms. The bathrooms had bats in them. I saw mice when I showered. I mean, the shower was cold rainwater. It was intense. Everything about this environment was challenging. It's an environment that I never thought I could actually live in for 14 days, that many people couldn't. And I did it because I chose to challenge myself in that way. And so for you, I want you to understand that you're capable of so much more than you think. The reason why you believe you're not capable of doing something is because you have yet to challenge yourself to do it. So no matter what, just challenge yourself to do these things. Challenge yourself to push your limits, right? Your limits are there only because you place them there. And the only way that those limitations are going to be released is if you release them. by doing things to challenge that. So that was a big lesson. Another big lesson was structure and spontaneity can coexist. So for me, I'm very, very structured. I'm a double Virgo. I love structure. I thrive on structure. And structure actually has helped me in my mental health issues. It helped me through my addiction. It's very supportive for me. I love structure. And I've let structure get in the way of spontaneity and flow. And so this whole year with the removal of things in my business, I've created more time and space for me to flow. And I can get better at that even now. And so moving forward, I am taking on an attitude of structure and spontaneity and letting those two things coexist, because we need the spontaneity. We need the flow, right? We need the structure and we need the flow. We need both, right? Because the flow is where we allow our creativity to breathe and the structure is where we allow our creativity to come to life. So that's super important. The other thing that became loud and clear is that busyness is really the ultimate distraction mechanism. And again, like it's a way for us to deny like ourselves from feeling what we're feeling. So be aware of when you're keeping busy for the sake of keeping busy. Stillness. Don't fear stillness. Stillness is required for growth. For me, when you're on this diet, you also have no electronics, nothing. You know, my phone was literally off for 14 days. We're deep in the jungles. We had to take a boat from the nearest city, a riverboat, 4 hours up the Amazon River into a fucking jungle. No electronics. And so you're immersed in this completely different way of living. You know, no laptop, no work, no nothing. And so I would literally get up, wash my face, or wipe my face clean. I mean, it was literally down to the bare basics. No makeup, no brushing my hair, like just wiping my face clean when I wake up in the morning, brushing my teeth with my filtered water, and then going and laying in my hammock and maybe coloring in my coloring book or journaling or just staring at nature. And that was literally all I did for 14 days. And it was really hard for me because I'm not used to staying still. And I fear stillness, you know, because one of my old paradigms is that in order to be successful, we need to keep busy. We need to work. We need to hustle. We need to do this and that and this and that. And it's really fucking exhausting, right? And so it was great to have these 14 days where I was almost like forced into stillness. And I realized I don't have to fear stillness anymore. Stillness is actually required for growth. Without that stillness, I wouldn't have been able to integrate the lessons as they were coming to me. I wouldn't have been able to hear the fucking lessons from the plants, because often the plants will continue to talk to you the next day after ceremony. So don't fear stillness. In fact, start to create more stillness in your life. The next lesson is that the inner work creates the external results, right? And I talk about this so much. You have to shift your internal paradigm in order to shift your external reality. And that was the main reason I went into this plant medicine dieta, is because I knew, like, in order to create this life that I want to live, in order to finally feel free, you know, freedom is the thing that I am chasing. That's my personal ultimate dream, is freedom. And everything that I do actually cock blocks me from experiencing freedom, you know, busying myself, taking on too much. And so it was great to give myself this period of time to just focus on the inner work, to really understand what is needed for me to create that freedom for myself. Now here's a big lesson. You might want to write this down. It's so big. It's so good. Your fear of the unknown is actually your fear of relinquishing control. Your fear of the unknown is actually your fear of relinquishing control. So for me, what came up time and time again in all the ceremonies was my need for control. And I didn't know I needed this. I actually didn't know that I was a type A personality. For those of you who know me, who are listening, who are like, oh yeah, you're totally type A. Yeah, I'm type A. I'm a control freak. And I can see that now. And in ceremony, when you're on the medicine, there's nothing you can fucking control. You're deep in it. You're in whatever visions, whatever bodily sensations or somatic sensations, you're in it. And there's nothing you can do to get out of it. You just have to be with it. And so for me, for a lot of people, you know, when you go into plant medicine, there's a real fear of the unknown, because you drink the medicine and you have no idea what she's going to serve you that night. You have no idea how it's going to react in your system. It might be a completely visionary experience. It might be a completely physical experience. It might be a combination of the two. It might bring all the trauma to the surface. It might bring all the joy to the surface. You never know. And so there's a real fear of the unknown, but that's also actually a fear of relinquishing control, because as soon as you drink that medicine, you're relinquishing control. And you're going to dive deep. So for me, it was really interesting to be with that and to understand that I am still safe because I have that safety within me, even when I relinquish control in that way. And then with that, the opposite of control is trust, right? And the only reason that we unconsciously or consciously continue trying to be in control is because we don't trust ourselves. And for me, that was the case. I would always try to be in control because I don't trust myself. And so being in plant medicine for 14 days, being in diet for 14 days really helped me relinquish that control and dive into that sensation of trust within myself. And so I can say with full certainty, like, I am coming out of this feeling like I trust myself completely. And I couldn't have said that before the diet. So for that, I'm super grateful. And the final lesson, and this one's a big one for me, is feeling safe begins with you feeling safe within yourself. If you can't tap into that safety within yourself, you'll never, ever, ever feel safe in any environment. And so for me, I never felt safe. And that was something that came to the surface this year in my journey with plant medicines, is I never really felt safe. And so I've been developing this sense of safety within myself. And it was amazing to drop into that in diet and in the jungle, because there were so many times when anyone wouldn't feel safe. I mean, there's a lot of times that were really fucking scary. And but I would place my hands over my heart and remember that the safety, like, is within me, and I just need to trust myself. So those are the lessons that came up so far that I'm open to sharing with you so far that came up. There was so much more that came up. There were so many more things that happened. All in all, it was the most confronting experience of my life, both from the standpoint of the medicine and of the environment. I've never been in such a challenging and confronting environment, living on bare minimum, wearing dirty fucking clothes every day, not having what, you know, you like to have around you, not having light, you know, like really being surrounded by so much darkness and sleeping in my fucking taco bed and eating bland food that, you know, feeling weak in your system, in your body, in your physical self. And there's days when I couldn't even get out of my hammock. My body was so weak. It was intense. And I'm happy to be back. I'm filled with gratitude for the life that I live. I'm filled with gratitude for you, my amazing, incredible, loyal thought leaders, for my community, for my clients, for my amazing, incredible husband who, you know, he held down the fort here at home while I went away for that long. And yeah, there's more that I want to share about that, but I'm going to wrap that up right there. I feel like that was a lot of information, and I highly recommend even just going back and listening to this and writing some of these lessons down, because I really like what I'm hearing is that a lot of these lessons are applicable to you, and it's important for you to see these things so that you can start to integrate and you can start to connect those dots and you can start to bring this knowledge into wisdom through your own personal integration. As for me, I'm going to continue integrating this week. It's also Thanksgiving this week, when I'm recording it, it's also Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has passed by the time you're listening to this. But yeah, so I get to just be in gratitude this week, which is really cool. Yeah. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. That feels super complete. And, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for joining me for another edition of Today's Thought Leader, and, for choosing to spend your time with me, for choosing to subscribe to this podcast, for choosing to listen, for choosing to be part of this conversation. I am so appreciative. I feel so blessed to have you. And I'm just so grateful. Now, if you are a thought leader who's seeking to expand your life, your vision, and your impact alongside a powerful collective of leaders in 2020, and you resonate with me, my energy, and my message, head to www.rubyfraymond.com/TLC to learn more about the Thought Leader Collective. And if it resonates with you, hit apply. By the time I'm recording this, there's only 3 seats remaining. out of the 10, and I'm closing enrollment on December 13th. So if it resonates with you, apply today. And then, like I said at the beginning of the episode, be sure to download a few episodes and drop a rating and review on iTunes. I'm not just doing this to chart. And if I chart, that's amazing. So help me make that happen. And then, of course, if you dig this podcast, stay in the loop by signing up for my weekly emails. Sign up today at rubyfremont.com/subscribe. Now, if you have any questions for me about this episode specifically, about plant medicine, about anything at all, or you just want to say hi, reach out to me on social media. My handle is @IamRuby on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. I spend most of my time on Instagram and Twitter, so feel free to reach out to me there. I will respond. And then final reminder, I've switched back to airing episodes once a week on Mondays, so make sure you check back on this coming Monday for a brand new episode of Today's Thought Leader featuring a, like I said, a dear soul brother of mine, Aaron Bahia, where we discuss the difference between looking spiritual and being spiritual. This episode that I recorded with him is so, so good. So don't miss it. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Like I said, there's going to be more to come about Peru. I promise. I'm just still integrating. And I really, really hope that these lessons served you. And just thanks again for being with me on this 2-year anniversary episode of Today's Thought Leader. I appreciate you. I love you. I see you. I honor you. I bow to you. And year 3 is going to be super fucking amazing. Thank you, thought leaders. And I will see you back here on Monday for a fresh new episode.